You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, Te Uipu Hapai I Te Ora, the Safe and Effective Justice Advisory Group, published He Waka Roimata, which shares reflections on conversations and submissions Te Uipu received from New Zealanders about the criminal justice system. Te Uipu sought to actively listen to and understand what New Zealanders think about the current system. The core finding of the report was that racism is embedded in every area of the criminal justice system. Māori overrepresentation and mistreatment in the system is a crisis. Bias against sexual violence claims is very prevalent and unfair, and too many people are harmed by crime feel unheard, misunderstood and re-victimised. These are obviously issues that are quite prevalent already and that are well talked about. So I spoke to AUT Associate Law Professor and Director of Māori and Pacific Development, Kylie Quince, about the report and what is new about it. We discussed how this report does not give new ideas, but it talks importantly about transformative change within the criminal justice system and what New Zealand must do to make this transformative change happen. So here is Kylie. The report released by Te Uipu highlights multiple deep-rooted problems with New Zealand's criminal justice system. One core issue is the overrepresentation and poor treatment of Māori in the system being considered a crisis. What are your thoughts on this?
So all of the things that the reports say are absolutely true, but they're also not news to us.
I was going to say that. I was like, surely that's not. I feel like this is something that comes up in the news all the time, that this is an issue. Why is it important that another report is released saying these same things?
Well, it's important because it highlights the fact that nothing has really been done about it for 30 years. So there are a couple of seminal pieces of work that have highlighted the same issues in recent decades. So 30 years ago, Pu Aotearoa 2, which is the report on the Royal Commission of Inquiry into the Department of Social Welfare in 1988. In the same year, Moana Jackson, New Zealand's foremost Māori legal thinker, released his seminal piece of work, He Whaipanga Ho, Māori and the Criminal Justice System. The Roper Report was 30 years ago, so all of these pieces of work have come to the same conclusions, which is that our justice system has always responded very poorly to Māori. I think this particular report, He Waka Roimata by Te Uipu, really consolidates that work and points out that over the past three decades we've done very little to close that gap, because we have really only made, well, at best incremental changes, but at worst we've really made no change at all in terms of our statistics of imprisonment, the overrepresentation of Māori as victims. So at every single waypoint or stage in the criminal justice system, from crime occurring to responses to crime, Māori have been treated very poorly, and unsurprisingly then have had very, very poor experiences that have been reported back to the Te Uipu group over their 220 hui they've had around the country.
I suppose there's a long history of reports on this issue. Clearly a report is sort of a tactic that the government is using to try and deal with this issue. But and you said it's sort of creating incremental changes, but is another report going to make a huge, huge difference, or is there something else that we need to be doing?
So I do think it's important to consolidate that those opinions and experiences of people in the past three decades, and Moana Jackson is doing exactly the same thing with his impending release of his 30-year update to his 1988 report. So it's important that those reports, you know, at least tell us that the situation is still the same. I do think that the call so far, this is only an interim report from Te Uipu, it's important in that they are using the language of transformative change. Now, you know, lawyers, I'm a lawyer, lawyers are all about language. That's a really important signal about the nature and extent of the change that is required. Transformative change means doing things completely differently. And they are calling for in this interim report, they are calling for an overhaul of not just the criminal justice system. So they're tasked at looking at criminal justice. And in their report, importantly, they are pointing out that the underpinning causes of crime reflect poorly upon all of our other services across the state sector. Education, health, housing, responses to addiction. I mean, it's not rocket science that most offenders come from marginalised communities or are people that whose harmful behaviour is underpinned by addiction, underpinned by unemployment. So general life circumstances that are not an issue in the criminal justice system. The criminal justice system is responding to those social problems. And so this is really important because it's asking for complete transformation of all of those systems in order to address crime. So closing prisons won't make any difference. Closing prisons, just in the same way that we closed mental institutions and youth justice institutions, you know, 20 and 30 years ago, all that does is shift the problem to other aspects in the social sector. So a whole of sector response, I mean, that's a bit of a trite policy word, but I think that they're quite genuine in asking for that. If you really want to do this properly, if you really want to make transformative change, then you've got to do all of those things. So in that sense, it is really important.
So can we talk a little bit about a little bit more about what transformative change would actually look like if it isn't, getting rid of prisons and therefore then the issue would just move somewhere else? What sort of things are we hoping to come out of transformative change?
Sure. So one of the things we need to remember is that when we talk about the criminal justice system, we are talking as if that is a single monolithic beast. It's not. It's a large number of agencies, so anywhere from, you know, the police, prosecutors, judges, lawyers, corrections, prisons, probation, you know, service providers. So you are talking about dozens of agencies, different service providers, people who are all acting under different pieces of law and policy. They have different discretions. So it's not a single integrated system, and that's really important. So the first step is to think about each of those systems needs to know what the other part of the system is doing, so you need proper coordination across the sector. You also need then to change and transform each of those aspects of the system. So we've heard quite a lot in recent years about the turning the tide policy in respect of the police. So we know, for example, that the police have acted in ways that are particularly harmful and discriminatory to Māori. We've heard language like unconscious bias. So that requires culture change in that particular tiny part of the sector, although the police are the gatekeepers for responding to criminal offending, because most criminal offending is responded to by the police. And then you need to change the way in which courts respond. So, for example, the way in which the environment of the court is set up to respond to or accommodate victims of crime. Where do they get to sit? Is there room for their families? Can children be brought into courtrooms, or are there services, people that will look after children in terms of creche facilities? Are there going to be victims' advocates who are there to prepare them appropriately, to communicate between victims and the Crown Prosecutor or the police and other people involved in the system? So at every single stage, there is required to be a really careful analysis of what was it that these people that Te Uepu spoke to, what was it that they were unsatisfied with or thought could have been done better. And those people are the experts in terms of their own experiences, and that's invaluable in terms of, you know, taking a really close look at each of those different arms or branches of that system to better respond. Some things are medium term goals, I suppose. Some things are much bigger. So moving away from adversarial approaches, that's a huge issue. So in terms of moving away from dealing with certain types of offending, perhaps like sexual violence and family violence, from moving away from an adversarial system necessarily requires that there's going to be a winner and a loser. it's a contest. If you're talking about family violence, you might often be talking about people who want to remain in a relationship with their perpetrator. If that's the case, an adversarial approach is not really very helpful. It often re-victimises people who've been harmed, but also it's how can you have a winner and a loser if people want to remain in a relationship? You need an approach that's based on restoration and reconciliation.
And that's how to support both people to be together, right?
Absolutely.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. So we've made some inroads in those changes. We have sexual violence pilot courts. We have family violence courts around the country. But we're talking about more than moving beyond pilots and rolling out, you know, the translation of te uepu is safe and effective justice. What's effective for the people involved in particular types of offending?
Now, Justice Minister Andrew Little has said that he wants change to happen and that the government needs to move on this. He has also said that there is a clear willingness at the iwi level and hapu level and throughout the Māori community generally, saying we're ready to step up and provide some of the solutions to be part of the solution. What is your opinion on this statement? Is it only sort of now that iwi groups and other groups in the Māori community want to make a difference to this disproportionate treatment of Māori in the criminal justice system, or not?
No, absolutely not.
Yes.
I mean, iwi Māori have been willing to take responsibility and, you know, calls for, you know, by Māori, for Māori solutions. That, I mean, those have been around for decades. It really is the responsibility of the Crown to actively protect the rights of iwi Māori to be engaged. So that's a really positive sign from Andrew Little. I think this is the report that he was waiting for. That's certainly the report that iwi Māori were waiting for. And if we look at other examples across the state sector again in terms of more effective engagement and partnership with Māori. We've seen this with the reforms coming live at the end of next month or the beginning of next month in July with Oranga Tamariki again to try and better engage iwi Māori to look for solutions for, you know, problems and issues affecting Māori ahead of other citizens of New Zealand. So, Māori have been waiting for this for a long time. For some reason, and I could take a guess why, for some reason there's always been, despite the past 30 years, we've had an increase in, you know, Treaty of Waitangi jurisprudence or the prominence of looking to partner with Māori, iwi Māori, in respect of other aspects of law and policy and politics in New Zealand. But there's always been criminal law exceptionalism, which is really the fact that criminal law is seen to be different because of we are so heavily wedded to the idea, and I mean as a general culture in New Zealand and elsewhere, we're so heavily wedded to the idea of individual agency and individual offender responsibility. We are a really punitive society in New Zealand. All of the data shows that we imprison people more than most other countries in the OECD. We don't know why that is, but we need to take a really long, hard look at ourselves and see that, you know, many of these causes are rooted in our history of systemic racism and colonial practices. It can't be surprising that if you take people's land, you suppress their culture, their language, their ways of doing things, that you put them in a position when they are more vulnerable than other citizens in this country. In all societies, criminologists will tell you that those are the people that cause harm to others. So we actually need to own up to that history and attempt to respond to it. And that's going to require quite brave and courageous political decision making. But hopefully we have the sort of government at the moment that is willing to do it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.